You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church or other additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
No one gains the world. It's a myth to think that you gain the world. Right? At one point, you are singing, and at one point, the whole world is applauding you. There is still one exit for every single one of us. There's a beginning and there's an end. Right? The statistics of people that die is 10 out of 10. That's it. You come, you accumulate, you leave it all behind. Right? I was looking at Princess Machine this week. Left it behind, right? At one point, standing on top of the world, and everybody thought he had it. But then it all goes down. So what is stewardship? When we're looking here, stewardship is this. It's someone who's entrusted with another's wealth and property and charged with the responsibility of managing it in the owner's best interest. So here we're introduced to stewards that are here. And God, Jesus in this picture, gives them. Some of them, he gives them 5 talents. One of them, he gives them 5 talents, and the other one, 2 talents, and the other one. And so basically that has to boil down to whether it's your car, your house, your whatever you have. The Bible says it's not really yours. It's been entrusted to you, right? And you need to be leveraging it for his causes and his concerns, his interests, and advancing his agenda. So here what we see is in Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Everything is his. In Genesis 1, 27, he creates man. Even you are his. In Genesis 2, verse 15, the Lord took man and put him in the garden to work and keep it, right? He gives him, and he gives him as a steward. So to work and keep, that's more than protecting it. That's keeping something from happening to it. That's God has charged Adam and Eve in this case to make something happen with it, to take what God has entrusted and develop it and make something out of it. God is saying, everything is mine, but I'm entrusting this to you. So your job, right? Everything, just everything has to now be submitted under his plans, his purposes, to advance his agenda, not your agenda. That's what he's calling us to. So here what we see, stewardship is not some subcategory in Christianity. It's Christianity. Everything. I love, there's a song, a Hill song, written long, long ago. And it says, all that I am has come from your hands. All I've ever known is that you are faithful. Everything. There's nothing I could look around and say mine. Or else I'm going to look like a 2-year-old pouting on the floor saying, this is mine. It really looks dumb sometimes, doesn't it? Right? When they are fighting over a toy, and you are like, man, I could go buy 27 of those things and bring them, but you still fight over that one toy again. Like, I'm serious. Like, it's like, and I wonder sometimes God looks at us like that. What we think is ours, does he think that? Wow. If only you knew, I've got even more. And just like, right, the shiny quarter over a dollar. A child will fight tooth and nail for the shiny quarter over the dollar. Why? Because they don't see beyond that. They don't see that there's 4 of those inside that dollar. Could it be that we are like that too? When it comes to the infinite, all-knowing God, who's like, let it go, son. Just trust me with your life and watch what happens, right? So here we see that there is talents. There is talents. And obviously what talents were here is not just talents, what we name talents today. Talents was, one talent was a lot of money. One talent would probably be able to even pay for almost a year's wages for you. So he leaves them with a lot of money. Leaves them with a lot of money. So, and here, what we basically just like, these, in it, it's a large sum of money, but I want to be careful in applying this. Basically, what it is, Jesus is using financial language, but the application must apply to money and possessions and anything that we use, that we hold valuable. Anything that we hold valuable. So, and I just really want to kind of use some large categories for that. First of all, we're looking at things like time. Your time, something that you hold so valuable. How you spend your time, whether it's morning, evening, weekends, what you're doing with your time. Time is so precious that God has entrusted to us. And obviously, that means that if you are investing time on just yourself and are investing in what he calls you to, one of these days he's going to ask you to be accountable for that. Another thing, obviously, is our treasures, our treasures. And this is obviously a direct application to money and possessions. And here we're looking at, this is your paycheck, your account, your house, and God has entrusted you with that. And we're responsible for using it for kingdom agendas, right? And it's also looking at even talent. Your talent, this is your capabilities, your abilities, your spiritual gifts. Every one of us can do something that can make a difference. Because he has given us those gifts, right? And so there is never a moment where you should say, man, I am smart. These things come so easy to me. That just shows you that God wired you that way so that you can live to the glory of God, number one, and for the good of people. That's him who gives you that. It doesn't just come easy, right? I mean, it just doesn't come easy. There are some people that are like, yep, I can do this. And then they're like, and then it's done. Like, try fixing a car with me. It's not going to work. I'll stand there and look like an idiot and think maybe if I think and say, help me, Jesus, Something is gonna move. Something is gonna, and you know what? I'd go check the tires and check the oil and check the fluids and stuff like that. Try to start it again. Not happening, right? But then you call somebody who knows, who's wired like that, and I'm telling you, like just drawing board, and then all of a sudden, boom! That's it. This is what it is, right? I'm telling you, one of the quickest trips, I was hurting I felt like I dislocated my hip. I walked into a chiropractor's office, and within 2 minutes, he told me what was wrong, and he's like, oh, that's going to be fine, and he's like, yeah, do you see that? Your other leg is shorter than the other one, and so what we're going to do is that we're going to fix this, this, and that, and like, I'm telling you, in 5 minutes, I was out of there. I was like, you are a worker of miracles, right? And yet I've been limping the whole week. It's just how God does it. He gives us all talents so that as a church, as I'm looking at everyone in here, there's something that you can glorify God with. And so it's so beautiful. And he calls us to stewardship. So in verse 16 to 18, he comes and then he calls them to give an account. And so I want us to really look at verse 19. The truth here is that one day all stewards will answer to the master. That one day. One day, all stewards will answer to the master. In verse 19, it says, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And I hope this sobers you for a second. He came and he settled accounts with them. For me, that's the most sobering verse in there. Came and is sown. So the day is coming when everyone in this room, everyone in this room, the day is coming when he's going to come and his eyes are going to zoom in into your life. And when it zooms in into your life, and when he starts meddling with your life, and you would have to answer this question from God: how did you leverage what I entrusted you to advance my agenda? How did you do it? So the steward's primary goal in this is to be found faithful in advancing his master's agenda and using the resources that he had been given, so that he can, when the master returns, he can be accountable. So in this parable here, in light of that, if you are wise, you'll read these next verses very carefully. And because Jesus is about to show us what he's looking for in response to his question. So look at the next verse, verse 20. He who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and here I have made 5 more. And his master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." This is not your joy. This is like, come and enjoy what I'm enjoying. Right? This is not like, hey, I'm going to give you less because you're less than me. Come and enjoy what I'm enjoying. Right? Come and turn up to what I'm turning up to. Right? Right? Come and sip what I'm sipping. This is it right here. The best ever. The best in the house. Best seat in the house. Come and enjoy what I'm enjoying. Verse 22. And he also had, who had 2 talents, came forward saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, and I've made 2 talents more." And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, and I'll set you over much. Enter the joy of your master." Enter the joy of your master. You will, and so what we see here is that, let me tell you, you will be one of the 2 categories here when he finally settles his accounts with you. It doesn't matter who you are, right? It doesn't matter who you are, whether you are a teenager in the room, whether you are 60, you are 80 in the room. This is all of us. This is where we're all gonna stand. And at this moment, I'm telling you, every excuse you could make is going to really look like a 2-year-old making excuses. And at this moment, there's two places you're going to be at. The first one is that you'll be the steward, that you will steward everything that God has entrusted to you so that you can get well done, good and faithful servant. So when your master comes to settle accounts, when he starts looking at your life, if he's entrusted you with 5, you're going to say, "You trusted me with great wealth, and I fully invested it into your agenda." And he's going to say, you're going to say, "I made 5 more. If you entrusted you with 2, you're going to say, and those are the most beautiful words every single person wants to hear: "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you want to see, God calls us to a childlike faith. You want to see, go and compliment a child and see how they gloat over that. Because they don't doubt it a second that you really are proud of them. And at that moment, God is going to give us a heart that is going to be so intertwined to his heart that I'm telling you, when he says, "Well done," it's not going to reverberate from his heart to your head. It's going to hit right into your heart, and you will know it. He's totally proud of me. And I'm telling you, that is one of the best compliments you could ever get. And that is why today there's a lot of broken men who are grown up, who are looking for attention everywhere because they never got that from their fathers. But when you get it from your Father who's in heaven and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, I'm telling you, that's going to be heaven enough for you. I don't need anything else. I just need you, Daddy, to tell me you're proud of me for everything, for all those sleepless nights, for all those things. I'm telling you, there was New Year's 2005 when we were walking almost 20 miles from one mission station to another in Youth with a Mission, and we were hungry, we were starving, but we had seen people coming to Jesus. There was only one thing that was standing in there. God, one day, I hope you just look at me and say, I'm proud of you, son. Yeah. I'm proud of you. City Church, this is what we're called to. Nothing else. So that we can be able, as a group of people in Williamsport, we can be able to say, God, we made you proud in Williamsport. That's it. Amen. That's what giving glory to God is all about. Making God proud by reconciling lost people to himself. He came to seek and save those who are lost. He loves us with everything, and he wants us to join in. He's just inviting us to play. He's like, listen, come play. Come play, and it's beautiful, right? And so if you are in here, man, and you don't know Jesus, there's nothing more that you really want than him. Everything, whether it's friends, whether it's anything you've been looking at, man, there's just only one voice that matters. And that voice, just, I'm talking about, like, when you just hear it, when Jesus says, I love you back, I'm telling you, it shatters every fear you've ever had, need to hear insecurity you've ever had, everything that's ever bothered you. All you really need to hear is Jesus saying, I love you. And he's already said that at the cross. Yeah. Right? So if you notice here, is that this is not working for salvation. This is just being grateful for salvation. Right? He's calling us to look at the cross, be grateful, go out. And so they were both entrusted with different amounts. And God is not going to hold you to something that he knows that, he's not going to hold you accountable for what you don't have, but what you have. He's not going to hold you accountable for what you do with what you don't have, but it's he entrusts you with what you have, and he sits one day and he looks at this woman who comes and drops a quarter, just like this little penny, and he says, I'm proud of this girl. That's all that matters. Amen. So he commended these two men, not based on their capacity, but on their faithfulness to leverage all their capacity for his causes. And so the other part of this is that you could be on the other side. You will bury what God has entrusted you. Look at verse 24. So you're either going to steward or you're going to bury it. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. Look at that. There's fear. I was afraid, and I went and I hid my talent to the ground. And here you have what is yours. But his master answered, you wicked and slothful servant. Right? You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. You should have just put it in an account. That's it. And at my coming, you should have received even more. So this man did not murder anyone. You realize that? Did not murder anyone. He was not a jerk to his wife, right? He didn't even steal. Sin in this passage is neglecting to leverage your time, your talents, and your treasures that God has given you. That's it. Sin in this passage is literally neglecting to do that. Neglecting to do that. So we have to ask this question. Why did he bury it? Why did he bury this money? And so, and I think in verse 25, it says, so I was afraid. So I was afraid. And so this man has a bad view of God. This is where a lot of our problem, my biggest problem is every single morning, the reason why we wake up and we go into scripture is because, man, listen, we've got a bad view of God. And this is what, because of sin has come into our lives, we have a bad view. And so there's obviously a healthy fear of God, respect, dignity, and that moves us to and motivates. But then this man has an unhealthy view of God, and he is paralyzed. And so when we see here him saying, I feared, basically what you see is that this is something that lies at the hearts of many of us, right? When it comes to burying our treasure, so I just want you, don't think it's because we are afraid of what God will do for us. It's not because of that. It's because we're afraid of what God will not do for us. It's the other side. We're just afraid of what he will not do for us. So when we're looking at this, when we're looking at fear, we always have to see, what does God really promise? The first thing that he promised is that he promised to satisfy our soul. Taste and see that he is good. He promises to satisfy. He promises to satisfy, but when we are scared, like when we're scared, we don't take chances with that. We hold on to what is tangible to satisfy. Whether it's a marriage, whether it's anything, we hold on to that. Because this is where security is at, right? Next thing is that he promises us security. Right now, he's sustaining your life. His hands, if he takes his hands off the wheel, what would happen is that everything will go crazy. But he's the one who's giving you security. But the next thing also is that he's the one who gives you significance. Right? Everybody wants to be someone. But when you look at that cross, you see that, man, I am deeply flawed, but I'm also deeply loved. And that, there's no more significance that you can get than that. Deeply flawed, make mistakes, and all. Do you ever think about that? He who is from the beginning to the end saved you knowing you're going to blow it up 2,900 times, but he still loved you anyway. Listen, this is a salvation that is not anchored in your today. It's anchored in your future. Right? It's so beautiful, and we can never understand that. We never understand that. So, but look at your money and possessions. Chances is that there's a lot of evidence that you are afraid that God actually won't do and cannot meet your needs. So therefore, you've got to work more. Therefore, you've got to hoard more. Therefore, you've got to do all that, right? So how did he bury it? That's the next question that we have here. And the one of the things that you can do in burying your talents is this. You can play not to lose. By playing not to lose. And I want you to think of this a moment. By playing, and so when you're applying to talents, rather than knowing and developing and using your capabilities, that God has gifted you for gospel expansion, right? The good of the church and the growth of the kingdom of God. We sit idly on the sidelines and we are afraid to lose, we're afraid to fail or just even take a risk. That is why sometimes we make an announcement in the church and say, we need this. And then you see people just like play. It's just like they would rather just sit on the sidelines. Say, somebody else is going to do it. Right? And then not only that, our time, rather than taking a step forward towards our neighbor, right? Our neighbor and creative and inviting people into our families and inviting them into our tables and sharing a meal with them and talking to them and creating gospel conversation. You know what we choose to do? We choose to say, no, I am busy. I am busy. So we played kind of safe. And this is what we are avoiding. I just don't want to start that conversation because it might just be awkward. It might be awkward. And yet the whole time they're saying, please, I would love you to start that conversation with me. Right? Not only that, when it comes to our treasure, rather than saying that this is all God's, I'm going to fully leverage it for his concerns. We bury it by and play not to lose, and because we're trying to prepare for the rainy day here. What if everything falls out? So I'm not going to give because I need to keep some for myself, right? But the problem is that doing nothing for God's purposes with what God has entrusted to you is not pleasing to God. It's sin to God. That's where the problem that's there is, right? Another way that we kind of bury it is using God's resources for the wrong agendas. So a lot of us in here there are risk takers. Everything, we put everything on the line. We're playing to win, but in the end, we're playing a wrong game. We're trying to get the approval of the wrong people. I always just used to laugh, like, I always used to laugh and just seeing, like, in Dallas, Texas, it was more, we used to work, like, our biggest mission field was that we were activity coordinators in the apartment complexes, and we were reaching out to the complex, and we used to just take and go do little missions in these apartments, and you would see this man waking up almost, like, 7 o'clock. I'm talking about, like, just, like, if you see more money put in one car, I'm talking about like this thing has been lifted up to this part right here. It's got big rims, and I'm talking one rim itself is just going to take an hour just polishing that thing, right? You watch them do that. And somebody actually said, so what? So that you can sit inside and everybody else enjoys it and you're not enjoying looking at it? Right? It kind of think about that. Like it's like you're sitting inside. It's just leather all around, and everybody's enjoying the hard work you put on the outside. That's what we do with money and possessions sometimes. We want to look good, but really on the inside, it's just dry. Right? So Randy Alcorn kind of comes in and says this. It says that sometimes we have to set our own. It says no matter how much we make, we have the ability to set our own salaries so that we can leverage everything to the kingdom of God. So look at this. The owner God has put each of our names on his account, and we have unrestricted access to it, a privilege that is subject to abuse. And his money managers, God entrusts us to set our own salaries, and we draw needed funds from his wealth to pay our living expenses. One of our central spiritual decisions is determining what a reasonable amount to live on is, right? Whatever that amount is, it will legitimately vary from person to person. We shouldn't hoard or waste the excess. After all, it's his, not ours. He has something to say about where to put it. The money manager has legitimate needs, and the owner is generous. And he doesn't demand that his stewards live in poverty. So this is not what he wants. And he doesn't resent us for making reasonable expenditures on ourselves. But suppose the owner sees us living in a luxurious mansion, luxuriously in a mansion, and driving the best cars and flying first class. Isn't there a point where, as stewards, we can cross the line of reasonable expenses? Won't the owner call us to account for squandering the money that is not ours? That's just basically like a question that he'll put. And so basically like what he's really kind of driving into is just this part of like, everything is not yours. Are you leveraging it for his good or not? So the result of him burying it, let me just ask Cody and Leah to come up here. The result of him burying it here is that in verse 28 we see, he says, so take the talents from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, More, who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So now, let me just kind of bring us to business language today. Let's say you had you owned a lot, and then you entrusted to a couple of people to invest in it. And then you look, this one comes, and man, they've done profits with what you entrusted with them. This one, man, has come, and he has not done anything with it. What's the most reasonable thing to do? You're going to take your money from here, and you're going to give it to this one and say, you go do more with this. Because this is where it's at. And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of shops that come and they open even here in Williamsport and they realize, nah, we're not getting business, and they will shut it down and go open it somewhere else. Or they will shut it down and go put more resources on another one. This is kind of the picture that you see. So imagine yourself standing in the court of God and you're making your case for why it is that God should entrust you with more. You're making that case, and God says, okay, why don't you present the evidence of how you've invested your time, your talents, and treasures that I've loaned to you. Then I will make a decision. The truth is this, a lot of us will not want to really even start that conversation. Said, so, you know, God, I'm good. I'll just do with what I have. Deuces, we're good. That's really basically what it is, right? So basically, we have to actually now ask ourselves, what about our time? Is it being invested into God's kingdom? What about our talents? Do we have a vision and just do we have capabilities that could be used for the kingdom of God? Really, like, I think we should actually do even a survey one of these days. What is it that you can do? Because God doesn't ask you to do what you cannot do. What is it that you can do? And then I'm telling you, there's a spot for everyone in the kingdom of God. And we will even partner with you so that you can make that happen here in Williamsport. That's what basically your kingdom come on earth and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it means. And what about your treasure? Does the way you deal with money and possessions place huge value on God's agenda or on your personal agenda, right? So verse 30 kind of takes us and says, this is where the warning is at. The ultimate results, cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's probably the place where we don't want to be at, amen? So there's a huge warning. If you are not leveraging every part of your life for the kingdom of God, and all of it, it just might be saying that you don't know the King. If every part of your life isn't leveraged to Him for gospel expansion, the warning is you might not know the gospel itself. Because what you see here is that He doesn't just keep him in the room. He says, send him out. And basically out of my presence, because he is light, he says, throw him into the outer darkness. Meaning that the way we treat money and possessions will tell whether we're his or we're not while we're here on earth. So let me just ask you to stand. And as we pray, my question for you is that, if you're in here, what are you going to do in this delay? In this already but not yet? What are you going to do in this delay? The good news is that in this delay, there is mercy and grace, goodness of God is available to you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the good news is that there is grace and mercy in this delay. If you repent of your sins, run to Jesus, He stands ready, willing to save you. And this is the great news of the gospel. Amen? But not only that, if you're a Christian, God is the owner and you are the steward. And one day you will give an account. And Jesus is so helpful for us here. And He's showing us what He wants us to say on that day and what we're going to hear on that day. One needs to change in our lives, that's what we need to ask ourselves right now. So we're going to sing this song. And you know why we're going to sing this song? We are asking for Him to help us. We're going to ask Him to help us. And the reason why we ask Him to help us is because Jesus is the faithful servant as well. He's not only the master, He's also the faithful servant. And how is He the faithful servant? He is the ultimate steward. He was entrusted by God the Father with the mission of redemption, right? And He came and He stewarded His time, His talents, His treasures, so He can accomplish, so that you and me can stand here and celebrate His goodness, right? With both eyes fixed squarely on the cross, He said no to every competing agenda, competing cause, good plan, a million other purposes, and His life was fully surrendered and leveraged for His Father's cause. Right? For 2,000 years, He has been giving us talents and gifts and talents, and He's asking us, how are you going to leverage that? How are you going to do? So if we're ever going to be good stewards of Jesus, we need to stand in this reality of knowing that He's not asking us to do something that He hasn't done already. So Jesus, we pray that we need You, God. So Lord, I'm praying that, Lord, there might be somebody who's in here who's recognized today that, Lord, that their life in their hands, God, is, Lord, today that they want to relinquish control over their lives. They want to trust You with their lives. I just want to encourage you, if that's you, all you have to say is say yes. That voice that you heard speaking to you today, it's not me. There was a deeper voice whispering and calling you and saying, you can trust Me with your life. And we'd love to hear about that. There's a card next to you. If you can fill that up and say, man, I made a decision for Jesus today. But what about us, church? Our biggest dream as the elders of this church is only one. That, Lord, that we'll be able to steward everything that God has given us in here. Little becomes much if all of us come and pitch in. That we'll be able to steward it. And as City Church, we're going to be able to stand on that day when He calls us to give an account. And He's going to be able to look at us and smile and say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For service times, additional audio, along with any other information about our church, please visit citychurchpa.org.